Amen. Amen. So this is the 11th section, right? Marticles. So let's put a finish, a few things in perspective, and then we'll call it a day. Matthew 28. Let's read 8 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And look, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. Hallelujah. So, Mark 16:15, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And this time shall follow them that believe my name, to cast out devils, to speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the words with signs following. Hallelujah. So, quick one. So we said a few things along this line, and we said this will be Jesus' instruction, and those will be instructions of the scriptures, right? So something else we also looked at is on the fact that this forms for us what the believer's primary assignment in the world is, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Then we looked at, we began seeing our subtopic of discussion, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1. 1 Corinthians 12, 1. "And now concerning spiritual brethren, I will not have you ignorant." Right? I will say the background of it will be 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. And that background will not be different from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 5. Chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 10, and finally chapter 11. And we're now looking at the fact that Paul is responding to them, tells us that the practice of the things of the Spirit will be in our gathering, and giving us the consciousness of the Spirit amongst us when we're gathered. And the Spirit of God dwells amongst us when we're gathered. Hallelujah. And that consciousness of the Spirit amongst us brings about reverence to our gathering, and also to ourselves, also brings about the sense of the miraculous, brings also about, you say sense of miraculous, brings about caution, and then how God leads us as a family. And how God leads us as a family, we must understand that we have what we call a family virtue, family behavior, church behavior. Hallelujah. Church behavior. I began looking at it. That one behavior that is not the church-like behavior is that behavior of selfishness. Selfishness, right? Selfishness, the sense, the what you call self-love. Self-love is not the character, not the behavior we have in the local church or in a family. Another behavior is that behavior of sense of entitlement. Sense of entitlement. We don't have that sense of entitlement culture. It's not a believer's culture. Amen.
Amen.
So let's move further a bit into what we're looking at today. So I mean in this section, okay, we'll take it from where we stopped in the last section. And the last section we said we should learn to consider the brethren, the brethren that we are brothers, right? We are brethren are therefore. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So we say because we are brethren and therefore it goes with us into our relationships with brethren. We can get into businesses with one another and not defraud each other. Neither should we take ourselves to court. Right?
Yes.
We should learn to take the fault. That taking fault
is walking in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. But look at something in 1 Corinthians 6. Something that they did not take cognizance of in 1 Corinthians is that Paul said to them in chapter 6 from verse 1, he said, "There any of you having a matter against another, go before the law." I may go before the unjust and not before the saints. When it says go before the saints there, it was not referring to coming to tell it to the whole church together. That you, I'm having a problem with Bartimaeus. No, that's what it means. When it says go before the saints there, he was talking about reporting it to the leadership. Amen. Reporting the saints will be to the leadership. Hallelujah. To the leadership. So that means in the local church, we have the leadership. We have the leadership. In as much as we are brethren, as we said earlier, that we are brethren. We are brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. In as much as we are brethren, we are our therefore, we are saints. The Bible made us see that while we are saints with one another, while we are saints, we are brethren, we are delivered, God has actually set some of us as leaders. Hallelujah. We are some people who are leaders. So that means in the gathering of saints, we do not all have the same function. We do not have the same function. And the background of this would be Moses. Remember, God let them all out, right? God let them out. They were saved as a people, as a family. But at the same time too, they had a leader, right? They had a leader, Moses, who led them out of Egypt. Are you following me? Who led them out of Egypt? Moses. Hallelujah. Moses. In Exodus chapter 18, let's see something. Moses led them out of Egypt. Look at Exodus 18. Exodus 18 will have a priest of the Midian, who is Jethro, Moses' in-law, came to them. Hallelujah. Came to Moses. Exodus 18. Jethro, he was a priest. Priest of the Midian. Look at verses 17. Look at what he says to Moses. And the father, he saw what Moses was doing, that Moses will judge between, look at verse 16, and when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I will judge between one and the other, and do make them know the status of God and his laws. You see that? So Moses was doing it all day. And the father-in-law said unto him, the thing which thou doest is not good, is 17:18. That will surely wear away both you and the people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee, and thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now to my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the curses unto God. Now something you need to see here, verses 20, it says, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, you see that? And shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work which they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men. See why Moses is teaching them? From those teaching he's teaching them, the story of the Son of God, he will choose what able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, rulers of tens. You see that? And let them judge the people at all sessions. It will be that every great matter that they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, that they shall bear burdens with thee. You see that? Hallelujah. Look at verse 24. Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. Amen.
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 So Moses now chose men who is going to judge with him. Is that?
Moses chose able men, as the Bible put it, able men who will judge with him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So first of all, and that will be, we're going to see that as God set up very soon. Hallelujah.
Let's say a few things. When they use the word judge there in verses, that should be verses 22, I use the word judge there, It implies to teach and to settle matters. It also involves to give instructions. Remember I said when you have a matter, they will come and I will settle it. Did you see that? So it involves to teach, to settle matters, and to give instructions. So if we now read Numbers 11, just Numbers 11, you will now see that in Numbers 11 verses 15 to 17, Moses, God will tell Moses, choose 70 men of the elders, known to be elders of the people, officers among them, bring them to the tabernacle, and I will take off the spirit that is upon you and put on them. Do you see that? And in verse 24 to 25, Moses did that, and God took off the spirit that was upon Moses and put on those elders, and they bore the burdens together with Moses. Hallelujah. So it implies in the gathering, in the gathering they had Moses and they had the 70 elders. Do you see that? So that means they had the leadership. The 70 had to follow and learn from Moses. Did you see that? Did you see that in Exodus where we read? Right? You have to teach, and after you teach, you choose from them that you taught. So the 70 are to lead, have to follow and learn from Moses, and then lead others. You see that? They will bear the responsibility with Moses. There will be men who are faithful, right? And there are men who are learning from Moses. The same way too will happen in our gathering. In our gathering. So God will put His Spirit upon them. Right? So to show you that God actually chose them. You see that? God chooses leadership. So the leadership is God's setup. So in our gathering is the same way. We have the leadership. We have the leadership. In as much as we are brethren, we have the leadership. And the leadership will be God set up. Will be God set up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 28. 1 Corinthians 12 28. Look at it. First Corinthians 12 verse 28. It says, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, this is that? God has set forth in those in the church. First apostles, secondly prophets, fourthly teachers. You see that? He says, after that, miracles and gifts of healings and government diversities of tongues. Now take note. When he says God has set in the church, it shows you it is God's setup. So when he says firstly, secondly, he's not talking about hierarchy here. Okay? He's actually men listing it. He's listing it. He says, just as I say, number one, apostles. Two, he is not calling it in any order. That this is the order. No. Firstly, secondly, so just like number one, it could be anyhow. What are following me? It's not hierarchy. It's actually, this is God's setup. We have the apostles, the prophets, the teachers. Who are following me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because there is God's setup. So he's listening. So, but here's what he did. He did. He didn't separate between the apostles. Rather, he used another word. He says, after that. Now, that word after that becomes the divider. After that. That is the word epital. Epital. E-P-I-T-A-L. That word is used to show distinction. After that, so that means he draws in the divider after the apostles, the prophets, the teachers. That will now be a part. That is where the distinction is. After the prophets, you now have after that what? Miracles. This is that. Yeah, miracles. Miracles. You now have health, government, diversity of gifts. Now, just before you come here, go back to verses 9, 10, 11. He mentions the gifts, and then you have miracles, then you have diversity of tongues. And that gift will be found in all the body. You see that? The gift will be found in all the body. But the pastors lead, the apostles, prophets, and teachers will not be found. But what you find amongst everyone will be what?
the miracles, the power of gifts, the helps and government. What do we do with helps and government? Maybe short to point.
Amen. Amen. So they will be found amongst everybody. Do you see that? So that means the divider there is in the local church will have the leadership, and then you will have the saints or the brethren. And therefore there will be every other person. So the divider is between the leadership and those who are not leaders.
Okay, following me. Okay, following me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it makes you see that it is God set up. God has set it up that way.
I will have leaders. We'll have leaders. Hallelujah. In a gathering where everybody is the leader, you know that they are going nowhere. Amen. The leadership is orderliness. Hope you're following this. Leadership is order. 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 So it's got order. Leadership is got order. Right? Okay. And it's supernatural. In Ephesians 4, verse 8. Ephesians 4, 8.
It says, wherefore, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Did you see that? We dealt with this in our previous series. He gave gifts to men. And he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended forth into the lowest part of the earth. And he that descended is the same he who ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill up all things. Talking about the resurrection, right? That says, in the resurrection, that is when this will happen, he gave gift to men. Now he now said in verse 11, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that means the prophets, the leadership, which is the ministry gift, will come from the resurrection. Hallelujah.
So the functionality of the leadership of the local church. So the somewhere will make you see it will be functions. In the leadership for something, maybe there is functions. Hallelujah. And what will be the responsibility? Look at the next verse. It's for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So use the word charismos. Perfecting of the saints. Now the word perfecting of the saints there will be the training of the spirit. So the leadership is to train us. Leadership is for train us. Amen. Training of the spirit. Hallelujah. Where are we going to find the training of the spirit? We'll find it in teachings. Right? In teachings. In rebukes. In instructions. In righteousness. And we'll be for spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. In teachings. In rebuke. In corrections. Hallelujah. In instructions and righteousness. That's where you find the work of the leadership.
Amen.
So your leaders in the local church is not just to teach you alone. Amen. They have to correct you when you are wrong. Say no. Why will you correct me? No. You have to be corrected. Hallelujah. A paternosis. You have to be corrected. Jesus corrected his disciples all the time. You have to be corrected. Hallelujah. Any believer who is bigger than being corrected is a believer who is not growing. Who thinks is bigger than being corrected is a believer who is not growing. It's a believer who is backslidden. Hallelujah. You must be given to correction. You must be given to rebuke. In fact, you should cry when you are not rebuked. You should cry when you are not rebuked as a believer. Hallelujah. In Romans chapter 12, quickly, let's get to Romans.
Romans 12. Look at verse 3. It says, For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is amongst you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt with every man the measure of faith. Is that? Now, when he said not to think of himself highly, but to think of himself according to he has dealt with every man the measure of faith. Measure of faith, they'll be talking about ministry gifts. Amen. Measure of faith. Hallelujah. For as we have many members in the body, all members have not the same office. So that's what the faith there is for. You see that? Amen. No, God has given every one of us a measure of faith. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about ministry. Amen. Office. So we being many are one body in Christ. And every member one of another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So that means we have grace differing. Right?
Yes, sir.
Glory to God. So we have in the local church. So we're in the local church, but we don't have the same office. And this is dealing with what the leadership. So therefore, the leadership of the local church is God's setup, is God's
gift. Must let you see that. The leadership in the local church is God's gift. It's God's gift. Many times on Thursday we're going to dwell in how to treat our pastors, how to treat the leaders. You have to be taught how to do that. Hallelujah. You have to be taught. Amen. So we're dealt with dealing with brethren as well as on pastors. Hallelujah. Amen. They will not teach, we will not dwell also on how to deal with the garden, but the way we must deal. Hallelujah. Go with the God.
Go with the God. Amen.
So, as a believer, we must see the leadership as God's person. In fact, let me tell you. So, disrespect the leadership is to disrespect God or the local church. Because it's God's setup. Look at when Aaron and Miriam walked disorderly, spoke ill about Moses. Moses was their leader. They spoke ill. But when God was to judge, God said to them, you are hearing green in your ear. He said, for Moses, I speak to him face to face.
Did that?
Face to face. And you shouldn't have, because to disrespect the leadership is to disrespect God. Open your eyes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Very vital. In most times, there are two things that make people high. One is beer, alcohol. The second one is money. But some people begin to get some small money. Money. Is that why you say money? I know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Like, no, I can just say my mind. Watch it. Amen.
Amen.
Position. Money. Affluence. Look at Saul. Saul, when they told him to come and become king, he was hiding. Follow. Told him you'll be king, he was hiding. I had to go and fish him away, he was hiding. Someone was telling him, don't worry, you can do it. You can do it. The power of God will be rest of you. You will lead. Say, sir, look at me, last born, I'm from the last born family, which is Benjamin. I cannot Benjamin. No. What is my family like? We are not known. No. He was scared. But when he now got affluence, he now called Samuel. The person that he was bowing down for, he held him. Bible says the child is strong. Listen, I know God has blessed him, but you know what? Will you are a king for me? Let the people know that I'm still with God. Do you see that? Okay, my lady. What he was not supposed to do, he went to do it. He was supposed to wait for Samuel to come before he offered sacrifice. He went to offer a sacrifice. Samuel was not the king. Some will say, were you not, when God called you, were you not small in your own eyes? Do you that? No, were you not? No. You know, it, nothing is like jazz. Were you not small in your eyes? Look at this. Is it you? When you join church, you are not even talking. When one even encourages you to sit in front. Why you think your man can now run braggadociously? No! Okay, it happens like that. Some people just throw caution to the wind. For what? For what? For what human equal and justice? Why have you ever seen that? No. Oh, what? You know, see, as pastors, as leaders, I'm not going to deal with leaders. As leaders, yes, there are a lot of things that you will see in the world of ministry. I've seen plenty. I know I'm 3 years to see more. When they come, the first time they came to church, give them a few months. The reason you know Zoe is the Greek word for Zoe is the reason you know, small, tongue. They feel, no, don't do that. While I'm not saying also that you shouldn't grow spiritually to talk, but you must not then start seeing the leadership with an eye of disdain. Hope you're ready. Amen. Very vital. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should always be timid. No. Don't be. Hallelujah. Hope you're ready. Okay. Look at, so the believer must see the leadership of God's setup.
Hebrews chapter 13, quickly, verse 7. Something I need to see here. Verse 7. It says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So you should remember them. Hallelujah. When you use the word remember them, that is the word to be mindful of. To be mindful of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To mark them, that's that word, to be mindful of them, to mark them who have the rule over us. So that means when I get to the local church, I should know my leader. When I get to church, I must know who are my leaders. Maybe you join in a branch. You started coming to church, you are in a branch. You must ask who are the leaders of church, of the church. The leaders in the branch and the leaders of the church as a whole. You must know who your pastor is. Okay, Jeremy. You must know who your pastor is. You must know who are the pastors with your pastor. So that is why in our membership class we're supposed to introduce the pastors and our pastors. Amen. The pastor, who the pastor is. Amen. Talk about the pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you need to know who the pastor is. Know your pastor. And the pastors that are with your pastor. Hallelujah. Know who your cell leaders are and who other leaders are. Not just your cell leaders, other leaders in church. You need to know them. Other leaders. You that you are a leader, know the leaders that are ahead of you. Amen. There are leaders that are always ahead of leaders. Okay, know the leaders that are ahead of you. It is very vital. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Know your leader. Number two is, I must know what their role towards me is. I must know what their role towards me is. What is their function towards me? I will work that day for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the body of the body of Christ. So their role is to lead me in Christ. Their role is to lead me in Christ.
So disciple means for spiritual growth. That will be their role.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Remember, they are God set up. Right? Therefore, since leadership God set up, therefore, you don't choose who your pastor is. God has chosen your pastor for you, so you follow them. Whether you like it or not, you should love your pastor. Whether you like it or yes, you are under obligation to love your pastor. You are under serious obligation. You can't choose your pastor. God does. Hallelujah. Amen. Very much. Though I don't like this pastor, I'm going to exit.
Stupid fools.
Because you think you have authority. You have to exit this church. You have to go to this church.
Amen.
Your pastors are to lead you. That's what equipping for ministry. Look at Ephesians 4. Say for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Say for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Edifying of the body of Christ. We call to unity of faith. Say to the measure of the statutes of the fullness of God. Say that there will be no more children, not strong through, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, say by the sleight of men wherein they lie in wait to deceive.
Hallelujah. So, the role of my pastors is to lead me for ministry, for spiritual growth. Hallelujah. They teach me God's word. The role of the pastor is to teach you God's word. To teach you God's word. And in doing so, look at what happens. When it does, in doing so, 2 Timothy 3, from verse 16 into chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, let's all see it together. Let's see what the result is. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, profiting for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, right? Say that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto a guru. I charge thee therefore, look like it's a pastor, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing at his kingdom. He said, preach the word, in season and out of season. He said, reprove. This is the work of the pastor. Reproof with the word. Rebuke, exalt with all long-suffering and doctrine. So what you find in the pastors leading you will be, you find the teaching of God's word, and in it you have rebuke, you have correction, hallelujah, you have instruction, you have reproof. And these things will be the leading of the Spirit. They will be for spiritual growth, and they will be spiritually led, or they will be God leading. Will God lead my pastor to shout at me? Yes. Will he lead him to rebuke me? Yes. See, rebuke. Most times, some people think rebuke is, oh, don't do it again, yeah? No, that's not rebuke. Rebuke can come in a form of shout. Hallelujah. Shout. I want to spend time in teaching that one day. Amen. Rebuke. Like, what is wrong? So why is this? Is it that Jesus? Yes! Yes! The pastor is in dramatic. No, it happens. Hallelujah. Sometimes you have to do that. Hallelujah. But Jesus said, oh fools. The simple just said, oh fools. No. It was strong. Because, oh fools. That's strong. Hallelujah. The Bible says he rebuked his disciples for their unbelief. Look at how he rebuked a city. People are just reading, oh, Hosea and Caesar. No! But then he cried, to cry with a loud voice. That means rebuke involved a loud voice. Hallelujah. What is wrong? Never use the word again. Amen. It shakes the devil off. Hallelujah. And you'll be happy. How about that? Your response to rebuke is joy. I mean joy. You take the rebuke
even on one college, thank you very much, sir. Or you get home, you rejoice that your pastor is with you. It shows that you're on the right track. Not his answer busy. Everybody. There's some people, because they say don't be pastor, you don't look at someone was there with the pastor in this. This was there, this was there. So the next time you come to church, you no longer talk to them. Why? They're not beating them. Because they head pastor with this. They are not ready to grow. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
And it's very vital. Pastors are not to shy away from it.
Pastors are not to shy away from it. What we have today in some places are pastors who are scared of losing membership. And they say, no, just let's talk small. Let's talk small.
No!
Amen. Amen. I've been somewhere before. Brother was being rebuked by my side. Amen. Those words were harsh. But when you are done, when if you are there, even you yourself, when you feel the rebuke, even yourself will be rebuked. Amen. You yourself will be rebuked to yourself. Amen. Remember one time like that. The Sheikh was showing us how we went to Christ Embassy. Yes, sir. And Pastor Kwilega Kilome was rebuking a drummer. Drummer in church. That was the whole full service. Everybody was shaking. And when they when people were to leave, they said, as you go, if you hug, That was edification. And one boy around came to meet him in his house. And so, what pastor did was it like? I don't know. Pastor Chris looked at me and said, better leave my house with your cause. Because you're not supposed to say anything. It's not a subject for discussion. So what we do is get home, in that soberness we pray. In that soberness we pray. Thank God that you are praying with you. And that you will not walk in that path. Most times you may not be the one that has been rebuked. But that rebuke will also touch you. Amen. Okay, follow me. We go home and then you are. You know, most of the rebuke we read in scripture that we read today are doctrine. I will teach today. We will not rebuke directly. For the other people that are rebuked, and then you, because of the weight of that rebuke, you find, that means I'm not going to go to school, right? And we are taught that. So that means you guys how you handle rebuke, even if it's not you directly. Okay, follow you. Please follow that. You must take it.
Now get cool. I don't want to talk to you now as pastor in church.
I want to talk to you now as my guy. That means you realize you want to bring curse on yourself. Hallelujah.
Amen. That may rebuke the church. Keep it as you. Okay, follow me.
So it's part of the training. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at what the writer of Hebrews says. He says, who is he that will say the Father loves him and yet does not chastise him? Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. You look at verse 6. Okay, verse 5, he says, and have you forgotten the exhortation which we get unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. He said you should not faint.
This is that. So don't go weary. Don't get weary. I'm no longer going to the church again. I'm tired of being rebuked.
No, it's out of the tree. He doesn't look at this in the never. He said, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Did you see that? If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? And if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. So that means you can't say you are a child of God and then you don't receive rebuke. I think you should be scared if your pastor has not rebuked you before.
It's a sign to know whether you your pastor loves you. It's just like giving birth to a child. And then from child it's 0 to it's 20. Okay, it's 18, they say the child is an adult. Okay, from age 0 to age 18, he said, no, since my father gave birth to me, he has never punished me, he has never touched me. He just smile. It's not your father. Seriously, it's not your father. Because, especially in Africa. Especially in Africa, why did not touch you? Something will touch you. Why did not? Something will touch you. You must be corrected. You must be rebuked. Amen.
Glory to God.
So, very pastor. Therefore, the rebuke. Look at 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. So when Paul in 1 Corinthians 5 was. Verse 2, he says, the guy that has his father's eye, says, and ye are puffed up, and have not rather more, that he that has done this thing may be taken away from amongst you. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Look at verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus, when ye are gathered together in my, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, he then says, to deliver such one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the days of the Lord. Did you see that? So when he gave the instruction that you should have rebuked this person, he wasn't talking to the whole church. When he said deliver to Satan, you know, is an open rebuke. So when he said you should deliver the person to Satan, was not referring to the whole church would come out and saying, you, what you think is wrong? This one, you. Everybody now is saying you. No, was talking to the word leadership. It's the responsibility of the leadership to deliver such a one to Satan. To opposition, that is rebuke. Really, you should rebuke that person. And he was referring to the leadership of the local church that they should rebuke that person. Amen. In chapter 6 also, in verses 2, it says, don't you know that the saints will judge the world, and if the world shall be judged by the saints, everybody to judge the smallest of this matter. Was referring to the leadership. Who are following me? It's referring to the leadership. So it's not for everyone to be delivering people to Satan. No. It's the role of the pastor or the leadership. Hope you're following me. I will find Paul do that in 1 Timothy 5 verse 20. He talked about Hymenaeus and Philetus. He said, whom I deliver to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. Did you see that? So he gave them open rebuke that they will not blaspheme.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is the job of the pastors to rebuke, not everyone. And the rebuke, the correction is God's setup.
It's God's setup. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Look at how Jesus also puts it like this in Matthew 18. Very vital how Jesus puts it. Matthew 18. Are you Matthew 18? Look at verse 17. He said, if he talks about the man who had an issue with his brother. He said, he takes two brothers, say, if you neglect ye to hear them, tell it to the church. If they neglect the church, let him be unto the unheeding and the publican. They say, tell it to the church. The church there is the word synagogue. and was referring to the leadership of the church,
the leadership of the synagogue. This is the leadership.
That's the role of the leadership.
Also, their role is to set you distance in God's word, to rebuke, to set you distance. So when you are having a misunderstanding, don't take brethren matter to gist lovers. Don't take it to telling us. So people now, when they now put their frustration or anything that happened to them, if you want to know what is wrong with people's life, check their WhatsApp status. Is there? Somebody cannot just live in peace again. Then why is it right? You just know what is wrong with them. You don't need gifts or revelation to know what is wrong with them. Don't you know your revelation gift? It's already there. That was our status in revelation. Is there? Everything they post.
No.
Okay, everybody. Amen. Amen. So you have issues with your brother. With a member, tell it to the pastor. Right? They ask. How about the non-Jew it well? Look at Paul. In Acts, you see, they were people listening. They were people. That is how important the leadership is. They were those who began to say things like, you should observe the law of Moses. Being saved, being born again is not all of it. You observe the law of Moses and the like. And look at what Paul said. Paul, the Bible says they took it in Acts 15. Acts 15, they took it to the leadership of the church. This is that the elders to settle the matter. And when the elders gave their verdict, they just played around it, and then they didn't actually give a solid conclusion to that issue. Right? Now, did Paul say, no, not take it, no, not take it, let's go to court? No. What did Paul do? Paul continued. That is, Paul accepted the decision of the leadership. You must learn that. That is like the pastor and the deep. No, you will not agree. My money cannot lose. He run you at all, or hire a lawyer. No. Okay, everybody. No. It's wrong. Okay, follow me.
Yes, sir.
I have something. Something we're going to deal with. Paul says, your pastors watch over your soul.
Now we, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews 13. Yeah. Verse 17. Obey them who have the rule over you. Submit yourself. For they watch over your soul.
They watch over your soul. Some people are very quick to report issues to papa and mama, to their father and mother. But we're not supposed to do that in scriptures. We are supposed to report those kind of issues, maybe among brethren, among to your pastor. What are you doing? Not to father and mother. The Bible says they watch over your soul. See, I said something. Most times, it's good before you take some certain decision. Sometimes, to certain decision is also about ministry, about the work of ministry, to involve your pastor. Just talk to your pastor about it. Do you understand me? Amen? Talk to your pastor about it. Talk to your leaders in church about it. No, you are not talking to them with wisdom. Not say, pastor, God told me that you are stupid for doing that. Don't say that. Don't say, God told me that. No. And you want, so why are you telling me? Do you understand me? Amen? You have 10 visions about it. Be wise about it. Amen? God told Saul that he was sending him to preach, right? Around the nation, the Gentiles. But it took Saul more than a decade before he started his set out. And Paul did not set out until there was that confirmation within the local church. How are you following me? That is Acts 9, right? And Acts 13. In fact, it took more than 14 years. Last time I told you 14 years, when I was talking, I thought it was more than 14 years. More than. closed for 17 years. Who were following me? And he was not saying, these people are not even recognizing my God's call. No. Who were following me? They are not even seeing. Their spiritual eyes is not open to see. Can't you see me, man of God?
Amen.
No. Hope you're following me. Most times you just be wise, sometimes you'll be quiet about. Or just say, I will discuss with my pastor. Now if you're your pastor, you are saying, pastor, I need to get God's leading concerning this. Okay, that's very wise concerning this. This is what, you know, you put it like, pastor, this is it. And your pastor will say, okay, let's pray about it. Don't worry, I'll get back to you. And the pastor comes back. And what he's telling you is not the same with what you are led. Don't say, ah, pastor, pastor at me.
No.
Be wise. Are you telling us I should disobey God? Are you telling us I should disobey God? Because my pastor has said otherwise. Emphatically, God isn't going to speak to you against your pastor.
Oh yes.
Okay, here we go. You're not going to speak to you against the pastor at all. Sir, you don't say, see. But I know what I heard. Well, what if you were wrong with what you heard? I can give you a whole lot of scripture that are people who think because God has spoke to them. And wasn't God has spoke to them? Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. But look up. And that is why you must be very, very careful. Remember during leading of the spirit, I said there are many voices.
Several voices in the air.
Several voices. Sometimes most people don't even know how to differentiate their mind. Okay. That's why you have a control, you have a leader. You have the lead of your life. Okay. Amen. Amen. Sometimes you might have that call to go do something. And you set everything, you prayed about it and you're ready to go. And your pastor said, no, you're not supposed to go. Your whole role is just to pray about it. Somebody else will go. Not for you to get angry. When God sometimes, like I said to us, like Pastor Shego has said to us before, sometimes God will show you things. And you just need to pray about it. So that you might now see that thing that we need to even see ahead of God. You know what I mean? And you need to see yourself there. Oh, we saw there, I went there. And you prayed about it. Or your own was just to pray about it. And you get visions that don't even want to say. That's how it's gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But it goes. So you must be open to how God will lead you or use you through your pastor. Hope I hear you. Amen. I will say the watch over you soon. Watch over yourself. We must learn to do that. How about there's no reason pressure in my heart for Sunday and I want to seek your counsel for Sunday. Okay, for lady. For Sunday this is I want to seek your counsel. Is this something I should do or not do? I thought that I'll get back to you. Wait for him to get back to you. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody. Wait for him to get back to you. Father, he dropped it. The pastor is slow. God is slow. Amen. Amen. That is the importance of the leadership in the local church. How important is the leadership in the local church? How important it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must tell yourself that. You will tell yourself that. I for one, sometimes. Okay, let me just say that today. I'll say it some other time. Hallelujah. Amen. So the leadership is God set up. And then their role towards us is what we'll be looking at. So we're going to deal with how to now treat the leadership on Thursday. Have you learned something?
Yes, sir.
Sure you learned something?